T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, Eli.
Hey, Eli.
Hey, Eli.
Hey, Eli.
Hey, Eli.
How you doing?
Good to see you.
Eli's coming. Eli's coming.
Wow. From intern on this show to now having a fully produced open? Wow. That is a pendulum swing. Check that out. Shane Reardon putting together the open for Eli Hershkovitz, a.k.a. Hersho on Hoops, is the name of his podcast. He used to intern on the show. Now he's too good to come and hang out in the studio with us. But we still wanted to put him on the show to talk about the NCAA tournament. What's up, Eli?
What's going on, Lawrence? Thanks for having me on.
Okay, so how's the Hersho on Hoops podcast going?
It's been going good. It's been nice to talk about a team that's actually good in the city. I didn't expect to have a Loyola kind of story this season. So for that reason, it's been fun.
Okay, so why should I believe in Loyola? Because you've become the show's like correspondent on Loyola. What's good about Loyola?
Yeah, their shooting is off the charts. They're tied for 7th in college basketball in effective field goal percentage, which is a metric that kind of incorporates 3-point shooting more than just traditional field goal percentage. And they're tied with Michigan State, who is a bunch of shooters like Cassius Winston, who's 3rd or 4th in the country in shooting, Langford as well. So this is a team that can tear it up from behind the arc and just from inside the arc as well. And it starts with Clayton Custer at the point guard position. He's able to shoot the ball. He was first in the conference, in the Missouri Valley Conference, which Loyola is in true shooting percentage, which is, again, just a metric that includes free throw percentage, 3-point percentage, that sort of thing, rather than just field goal percentage. So it's been Custer. It's been Marcus Towns, Ben Richardson also on the defensive end. And then Cameron Crutwig, who's a big, a local guy from Algonquin, from Jacobs. Loyola has 7 guys on their roster that won state titles, which is just insane. He's not one of them, but he really makes Loyola go. And without his development, Loyola is not where they're at right now. So there's a ton of nice stories, whether it's local or from outside of the state. And Loyola has ascended with Wichita State gone to the Missouri Valley Conference.
The offense and the 3-point shooting is sexy. Loyola's defense, though, has been a big part why they're here. What do they do well defensively?
They don't foul. And we were talking about this on Twitter last week. No Rambler has fouled out of a game this season. Just think about how insane that is. And then to top it off, there have only been 20 instances where a Loyola player has picked up 4 fouls in a game. So you think about in March how crucial just keeping your hands up are in a late game setting. And the big thing for the Ramblers and what Porter Moser kind of touches on, when Loyola plays solid defense and the reason why they've been able to do it is the wall of culture, which comes from Rick Majerus, his coaching mentor, when he was at St. Louis after he got fired at Illinois State, went to St. Louis, then came up to Loyola, has been here ever since 2011. And one of his sayings on the wall is reach for the lights. And when I did a story on Ben Richardson last week, he touched on that a ton. Keeping your hands up, especially in the semicircle, when fouls are going to be called, if not only are you not set, but you got to keep your hands up. You can't be to the side, whatever it is. And that's a Rick Majerusism that Porter Moser points to. And that's a huge reason why their defense has been stellar. They play fundamental defense and their on-ball defense. They get their hands in the passing lanes. That's another thing that Cameron Crutwig has brought up to me is pressuring the pickup dribble, keeping your hands in the passing lanes and getting deflections and creating transition offense from that.
Have you looked at the matchup with Miami yet?
Yeah, and the big thing with the Hurricanes This week, Bruce Brown, who's been out with a foot injury since for the last month and a half, that's a huge loss for the Hurricanes in this one. And, you know, the key matchup for Loyola is containing Lottie Walker. He's a high-volume scorer, not the most efficient shooter, but, again, that plays into Ben Richardson's hands, who's the best defender on this Rambler team. And if Loyola can slow down Lonnie Walker, I think Loyola has a good shot in this one.
When you look at the bracket, what sticks out to you? And did the tournament committee get it wrong with the teams that they brought in and they left out?
Yeah, I thought there was a case to be made. You know, this happened to Syracuse, I think it was 2 years ago.
Yep.
When they ended up making the Final Four, and a lot of people thought, well, why are the Orange in? And the same kind of, you look at their schedule this season. I didn't think the Orange deserved an NCAA tournament bid. On USC, who made the Pac-12 title game, you could have made the case for them. Also, it was surprising to me, Notre Dame, I didn't think was going to be that close to the bubble or the first four out. I thought they might have been, you know, the fourth, the fifth team out. But if Rhode Island had beaten Davidson in the A-10 tournament, the NCAA announced yesterday that Notre Dame would have been in. So maybe Notre Dame over Syracuse, especially with Colson's injury, even though the committee has said we don't value injuries for teams getting into the tournament. We just value it for the seeding. So, yeah, I would say the Syracuse thing confused me a little bit. Also, West Virginia was very underseeded. I've had a tough time. Yeah, they're the 5 seed in the East region. And how can you not say that they're not a top 16 team, if not better? They have a couple tough matchups. The first one being Murray State, who's a 12 seed, who's got a high volume score in Stark too, a microwave guy, and then Wichita State Marshall, who's that's a tough one to pick too. So West Virginia definitely being underseeded in the East region at number 5 is perplexing.
Why was Oklahoma brought into this tournament?
Their early non-conference part of the schedule, you know, you point to that. Just one win, for instance. Obviously, some local fans might look at the Northwestern game. I don't think that had much to do with it. Northwestern was pretty bad this year. But back to the Sooners, you beat Wichita State in non-conference play. You're able to beat Kansas also in the beginning or the middle portion of conference play. And Trey Young played efficiently in their one-and-done loss in the Big 12 tournament, but the big thing with him that I, you know, pointing back to West Virginia, you brought them up. I think that game going back to around the middle portion of Big 12 play where Javon Carter really bullied Trey Young throughout that game. And I thought that was just a one game kind of thing where Trey Young was going to bounce back. But, you know, he's kind of fell into a trap where when teams do that, whether it's bringing a double at the top or whatever it may be to try to confuse or fluster Trey Young or just be physical with him, he struggled off of that. And it hasn't helped that players around him haven't shot the ball well either, like a guy like Maddox. So, I think with Oklahoma and the NCAA tournament committee in general, they were trying to say, we want to value the entire body of work, which is okay. But then you look at, again, another confusing one is Arizona State. You know, they had a huge win on the road at Kansas in non-conference play, but they've been terrible. They've lost 6 of their last 8 games, 5-8 in against teams ranked between number 51 and 100 in RPI. So Arizona State, Oklahoma, Syracuse, now that I think about it, all those teams are confusing. But again, the NCAA wanted to say, well, it's all about the whole body of work, not just the latter part of your conference play.
Right now, have you filled out your bracket yet or no?
Yes, I have.
So who do you have in the Final Four and why?
I have Virginia in the South region. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, can you win with defense in the tournament? If a team's able to go up big on the Cavaliers, you know, 10-point deficit, whatever it may be, can Virginia come back? And a couple games this season, the Cavaliers have shown that they can. Against Florida State, they were down against double digits, the same thing on the road against Louisville. And I know people might say, well, those two teams aren't in the tournament. Well, those are still two competitive – or Florida State is, but Louisville is not, and those are two – competitive teams in the ACC. And it also, it reminds me of Villanova, and they didn't rely as much on their defense as Virginia does right now back in 2016 when they won the title. But everyone always said, well, the Wildcats lose in the tournament early on. So Their strong play throughout the season doesn't matter. Well, it did, and Villanova went on to win the NCAA tournament, led by Ryan Arcidiacono, Josh Hart, Chris Jenkins, Jalen Brunson as a freshman. So that really strikes me, and Virginia has not shown a sign of weakness this season. Again, being able to come back, you have bucket getters, guys that can create off the dribble on this Virginia team. Devin Hall is the leader in that respect, and Kyle Guy, while he's cut off the man bun this season, he's still a nice scorer, and then Ty Jerome, and then you can't forget about DeAndre Hunter either, who's been really effective in the latter part of ACC play for Virginia, and their first in adjusted defensive efficiency. And then in the East region, I like Texas Tech a lot. So another defensive team, their third in adjusted defensive efficiency on KenPom, and I got Villanova and Texas Tech in the Elite Eight, and I think Keenan Evans is going to give Jalen Brunson a ton of problems just defensively. And kind of jumping back to Loyola, Texas Tech's on-ball defense under Chris Beard, who, you know, we've talked about at length what he did at Arkansas Little Rock 2 years ago.
Great coach that went on the road and took every tough game and was competitive. His team was on the road for 2 months, and they never cried, and they never bitched about it. They just went out there and played and won some games.
Exactly, yeah. He's, obviously you want to, if you're going to take a team to the Final Four, you want to have a great coach at the helm at those four respective teams. And I think Chris Beard is exactly that. And they have a couple other nice pieces in Culver and Zahir Smith, who people look at, maybe I'm the only person on this case that looks at your offensive rating at KenPom, but Zahir Smith is number 39 in that respect. And he's a really nice third scoring piece on that team. Tommy Hamilton, too, an ex-DePaul guy, is a nice guy off the bench that can shoot it. And then in the West region, I got North Carolina going to their third straight Final Four. A lot of shooting on that team, like a Luke May, who's a stretch five. Theo Pinson has really ascended this year for the Tar Heels. Going back to the semifinal, the ACC tournament, being able to throw to him at the free throw line and being able to break down Duke's zone was so effective. And then Joel Berry, who is up there in terms of the toughest guards in college basketball, and a guy that you want the basketball, or you want the basketball in his hands down the stretch in a game. And then last but not least, in the Midwest region, while I don't like Michigan State as a program, it's hard as heck to pick against them. But if Cassius Winston is the variable, because if he isn't looking for his shot, if he is not aggressive, or if he is looking for a shot and he's inconsistent, like we saw in the Big Ten tournament against Michigan when they got bounced in the semifinal, they're in trouble. But they have so many guys that can score it. Miles Bridges, Jaren Jackson, who's a top 10 pick in the NBA draft. Bridges will probably be a lottery pick. Josh Langford and Nick Ward, too. That's a stacked lineup. And then you got guys off the bench that, like a Tillman, that's a shot blocker, and Matt McQuaid, who's a three-point threat, and Tum Tum Nairn, who's one of the better backup point guards in the country. So those are my final four picks.
Eli, great work as always. Where can people hear the podcast?
You could check it out on iTunes, Spreaker, Google Play, even. I know Herb Lawrence is a big Google Play guy, so check it out on those streaming devices, any other podcast service that you could find.
Well done, young man. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Lawrence. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Eli.
Eli Hershkovitz. Sometimes he produces the show. He used to be an intern. He does a really comprehensive college basketball podcast called Hersh on Hoops. We're going to take a break. We'll check in with our friend Jeremy Warner, get his thoughts on the bracket. We're giving you all the college basketball help you need. The brackets are out. What you going to do? Talk about that with Jeremy next here on The Score.
Thanks, Eli.
See you Sunday.
See you Sunday.
See you Sunday.
This segment being brought to you by Sleep Tomorrow. Tomorrow Sleep. What an awesome night's sleep. Try the new Tomorrow Hybrid mattress. Use promo code DRIVE1 and save up to $250 when buying mattress, foundation, and sleep protector at tomorrowsleep.com.
Herbie, were you bothering Jeremy about Illini football?
Yes, of course.
He's not here for that.
But, you know, some great Illini breaking news happened. You know, you can file that at IllinoisInquirer.com.
Okay. Hey, Jeremy, how are you, sir?
Good, Lawrence. How you doing, man?
I'm doing really well. Well, why was Herbie bothering you about Illini football?
Well, for us who care, and I appreciate Herbie being one of those who care, because I need that to actually own a business. Illinois added a grad transfer quarterback tonight from Virginia Tech. A.J. Bush used to be in Nebraska, barely played, but talented. And anybody who follows Illinois football knows they need bodies, they need talented bodies, they need older bodies at quarterback, because they only have one guy on scholarship this spring at quarterback, and that's Marion Catholic's own Cam Thomas.
Well, what Jeremy does is he covers Illinois football and basketball. He's the publisher of Illini Inquirer. He has his own radio show down there. I love having him on because he knows a lot. He's a good man, and he's thorough. You can check him out when you're down in the Champaign area on 93.5 FM. One more Illini football thing. How's Lovey's beard?
It's glorious. Have you seen this thing?
I have. It's majestic.
You got to see it in person. I don't know if you're going to meet with Lovey anytime soon, Lawrence. I know you guys are kind of boys.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. but I will tell you that I admire his beard.
Yeah, I know people say it ages him, but if I could grow that kind of thick, white hair, I mean, it's Santa Clausian. I know that's what Shannon Ryan from the Tribune, my peer and great colleague, calls it. She calls him Lovey Claus, but it's impressive. So if I were him, I'd keep it. He said the wife doesn't mind it, so he's keeping it. So
okay, good.
Gives him a distinguished look.
Okay, I completely understand that. Now let's talk buckets. And I don't want to talk about Illini basketball. I want to talk about the NCAA tournament with you. What stands out to you when you saw the selections being made?
Can I don't know if you guys are into the hot take business. Can I give a hot take, Lawrence?
Feel free.
I think the committee does a good job. I think they did well with the seeding. Maybe there's a few things you could complain about, whether it's Arizona State getting in, USC not getting in, but I think they did a good job. And those bubble teams, listen, I don't get hot and bothered because it's a 60-18 field now. These bubbles are so weak. Teams that get in should feel fortunate at the very end. And I know you can get teams that get to the Sweet 16 out of that, but a few of those teams actually make a long run because they're kind of mediocre basketball teams. But I think you have a field here that has 8 to 12 teams that, mm-hmm. that realistically could win a national championship. And I think that makes for a lot of fun. But I think a lot of them have flaws, or there are teams that are close to them that could make for a really fun Sweet 16, maybe even a couple upsets early.
See, I have less sympathy this year for bubble teams because the Big Ten was so bad. There's a bunch of extra spots available because the Big Ten wasn't any good and didn't send as many teams as it usually sends.
Yeah, it was terrible, Lawrence. Watching it, I think there are three teams that have a legit ability to make the Final Four with Purdue, Michigan State, Michigan. You know, I think Ohio State has a great year, and they got a great player, one of the best players in the country, and Kata Bates Diop out of Normal. But I just don't see them making a prolonged run here. I just don't think they have the bodies that those top three teams have. But it was amazing how atrocious the rest of the Big Ten was. Their non-conference was terrible. I mean, Nebraska won 13 games, and I didn't think they were good. I thought maybe the fifth best team was Penn State, and they just lost a bunch of close games. And they're a young team that didn't know how to win those games. But yeah, the Big Ten, this is the worst year I can remember covering it. When you talk about a depth standpoint, there just were four good teams this year. And it provided a lot of opportunities, like you said, for some teams to sneak in there, like a Syracuse at the end.
Is Purdue for real?
I think so. I think they have flaws. But if you've seen Carson Edwards play, that kid can ball. I think the difference in this Purdue team is Carson Edwards. The one thing they've lacked in the tournament, even when they had those teams I love with Juwan Johnson, Robbie Hummel, Etwan Moore out of East Chicago, I thought those teams were great, but they lacked that playmaking guard. This year, they have the big men. Isaac Haas is, you know, monster of a man, Ivan Drago in the middle. Matt Harms comes off the bench. He gives him a ridiculously athletic guy, block shots. Vince Edwards is tough. You know, Dakota Mathias, one of the more underrated players, does a little bit of everything, a great shooter. But they have a guy who can go get buckets by himself in Carson Edwards. And I think that allows them to make a Final Four and be that kind of team. You know, they've barely gotten past the Sweet 16 here recently. But Carson Edwards is a real dude. I think he was probably second or third in Big Ten Player of the Year voting. Can shoot from three, get to the free throw line, finish at the rim with authority, even though he's only about 5'10". They have flaws, though. They're not a great rebounding team. As big as they are, they're not a great rebounding team, and some nights they can get out athletic, but they can just beat you in so many ways. And finally, with a guard who can go get his, I think it's a more dangerous Purdue team than we've seen in the past.
Does Matt Painter need a long run? Because you're right. Like, it just feels like his teams have been really, really good, and we haven't seen them like take that next step. And throughout this season, I felt like, okay, Purdue's taking that next step. They're being taken seriously. They're one of the top five teams in the country. But do they need to put an exclamation point on this with a nice long run in the tournament?
He doesn't need one because he's had a phenomenal career there. Like, he started fading kind of like Bruce Weber was, you know, that KD tree. But then he bounced back, got back to his ways and recruited really well, got his kind of guys. But this is their best opportunity in his time there. He's never gotten past the Sweet 16. And Gene Katie's thing was, I think he got to one Elite Eight in his entire time there, even though he had, you know, Glenn Big Dog Robinson, so many great teams that won Big Ten titles. So Purdue fans, yeah, I mean, it's great to be that. But at some point, you want to get past that. Even if you win a Big Ten title last year, even if you always get to the NCAA tournament, at some point, you want to feel like you're competing for a national championship. That's kind of what Bo Ryan was with Wisconsin until the very end. So I don't think he needs it, Lawrence, but I do think this is his best option he's ever had.
Jeremy, hang on. We need to do a scoreboard update. Then there's more I want to ask you. We're breaking down the brackets. If you're looking at yours, you're getting help from Jeremy Warner. He's covered a lot of Big Ten and outside the Big Ten, too, because the Illini's non-conference schedule is pretty strong. So he's seen a lot of teams up close. More with him after we do this scoreboard update with Julie. Julie, thank you very much. I always like to take care of the people that are listening inside the 9 o'clock hour. But first, sticking with the show. So, if you're caller 6 right now, you're going to win a pair of VIP tickets to Chicago Sports Spectacular March 16th through the 18th at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center. Meet and collect autographs from sports legends. For more information, visit chicagosportsspectacular.com. Caller 6 of the contest line, 312-591-6700. We're in the middle of a conversation talking NCAA tournament with Jeremy Warner. He is the publisher of Illini Inquirer. Check it out, IlliniInquirer.com. He's the host of The Warner Show, 93.5 FM down in Champaign. When you look at the brackets, what do you see?
I see a couple teams that I love, Lawrence, and one of those is because of a kid from Lincolnshire Stevenson. I love Villanova. They have a special guard and Jalen Brunson, Mikael Bridges, a versatile do-everything wing, now with the Bulls not really tanking very well, that we might want to pay attention to. Jay Wright, what he's done at Villanova is great, but I think we're starting to see that, you know, we love the brackets because upsets, but how much parity is there actually in college basketball? Because I think the teams at the top are teams we're really familiar with. I don't know if we're going to have very many surprises in the Final Four because Virginia, yeah, I mean, I guess they're still kind of new as a top program, but they've been there year after year after year. I think Duke, Purdue, Michigan State, North Carolina, Kansas, Michigan, I think those are the strongest teams in the country. We'll see if Xavier can get their way to a Final Four, but you know, I watch the KenPom stats a lot, and that top 10, those are usually the teams I like to make the Final Four, and there are a lot of familiar names.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to this tournament because I think it could be a whole lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And even in the first round, I know that your beat is Illini basketball. Have you paid any attention to what Loyola's done?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we got to have something in state, right? I mean, with Northwestern doing what they're doing with Illinois and one of its worst stretches in our lifetimes. Yeah. I mean, it's great to see. I've loved from afar because I cover the recruiting aspect. I love what they've done in recruiting, whether it was Christian Negron out of Larkin, Lucas Williamson out of Chicago Public League there. And, you know, they've done a really good job looking in state. Cameron Krutwig, I mean, he's the kind of big man that a lot of Big Ten teams would like. And
yep.
I got to tell you, I mean, I know everyone's kind of picking Loyola, though, but I think there's a reason. I think Porter Moser learned a lot under Rick Majerus after, you know what, maybe wasn't a long enough run at Illinois State, but Dante Ingram, a Chicago kid, stays home. Missouri Valley Player of the Year, Clayton Custer, does a little bit of everything. And, boy, they shoot the ball from three so, so well that that's what you're kind of looking for. And even if they didn't win the Missouri Valley, I don't know if they would have gotten in, but they had a case for it, given some of the quality wins they've had. Florida is a huge win on the road for them. They took care of business in the Missouri Valley. So Miami's a good team, obviously probably more talented, but the way, you know, Porter Moser's team's playing down the stretch, especially the domination they did through most of the end of the year, I think that's a game you got to look at. Is, you know, that's a pretty even game.
How do you think the success last year of Northwestern and the success this year of Loyola affects Illinois and DePaul?
You know, for DePaul, I would hope it puts a lot of pressure on them. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, Lawrence, you know more about them than me, but it's amazing to me that they haven't found success, and Northwestern basketball has, Loyola basketball has. It's pretty amazing to me how far that program's fallen. I think DePaul is maybe what Illinois has got to look at and say, hey, you know, we can't rest on the 80s. We can't rest on 2005. As Josh Whitman said, that gets further and further away every year. It's 13 years ago that Darren Williams played for Illinois. Most of these kids playing, they might know Darren Williams. They didn't see him in his prime in the NBA, most likely. So that's getting further and further away. But I think it shows you get the right coach, you recruit the right players, even if they're not the most highly rated players. You get a system that works, all of a sudden you can start selling that. And I know Northwestern struggled this year, but Chris Collins just signed one of his best recruiting classes. Loyola looks like they could be maybe the power with Illinois State, I think, in the Missouri Valley. And it's great to see Southern kind of rising up, Bradley kind of rising up under coaches that were kind of given time once they showed a little bit of progress. So these rebuilds, I think, take a little longer than fans want. But the key is finding the right guy. Once you find the right guy, you got to give him time. You got to give them resources.
Yeah, it was cool to see the Valley semifinal be all Illinois teams. That was a very cool like moment. We're short of one team going. The state right. Will at least get one team into the tournament.
I forgot what the stat was, but from like 2007 to 2014 or 15, something like that, that Illinois was the only team from in-state to make the tournament. They only made it like 3-4 times. You know, Southern Illinois, people forget, they were Wichita State before Wichita State. Maybe not to this level where they could change conferences, but they were pretty much dominating that conference before Creighton and Wichita kind of rose up. And then Bradley, we remember their Sweet 16 run under Patrick O'Brien. So I like what Brian Wardle's doing slowly but surely. He had a terrible roster take over. And Barry Hinson feels like finally the product's kind of taken over the sound bites, which is what I know a lot of Southern Illinois fans wanted at some point.
Jeremy, your show, it's perfect for you, man, because you're on, what, 9 to 11? That's perfect. That's enough time for you to get home and watch the tournament from start to finish.
Man, Lawrence, one of the one things I hated about the job, and I don't know how Bernstein feels about it, but the one thing about an afternoon show is you don't get to enjoy that day. So it's the first time in about 7 years I can just sit down in front of my TV, not worry about working, and just do what everybody else in the country is doing, which is not be efficient, but, man, it's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
It is. Jeremy, thanks for the time, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime, Lawrence. Appreciate you calling me up.
Jeremy Warner of the Illini Inquirer. If you're an Illini fan, IlliniInquirer.com. He is the publisher. If you're down south, check him out on 93.5 FM out of Champaign. I'm with him on Villanova. It's funny. Me, him, and Hershon Hoops all are talking about Villanova. I just think their guard plays so good. They're a terrifying basketball team. You mess up the tempo with which they play, the efficiency at which they play, you can look up and be down 15 points like that against Villanova. And it's over. They're not going to let you back in. They're too damn good. Virginia plays defense. In our hearts, we all want to think, oh, well, you know, defense is great. Love good defense. And we do. I do. They play a really boring basketball, really boring style of basketball. And I hope they get got. I hope they get got in the second round. Creighton or Canton? Bruce Weber, let's go.
That's going to be tough.
Let's go. Creighton might be able to pull it off. Just saying. People are already talking about the Arizona-Buffalo thing, which I don't quite get. Like, I'm uncomfortable with how many people are already saying that that's the upset in the first round. I don't know, but DeAndre Ayton has been playing great basketball.
Don't you think Virginia has the easiest time to get to the Final Four? I mean,
I actually feel like looking at this bracket, I think Purdue's chance to get to the Final Four is easiest. The only thing is they have to run into Villanova, I would suspect. But the bottom half of bracket is all theirs, man. We'll find out how good Matt Painter is, and I can tell you this much. He better make it out of the first weekend. Or else we're going to be lighting it up on the radio talking about them.
I mean, I don't know if they played earlier in the year. I know they do that, you know, Indiana cross between the four teams. But that Butler team, when I saw them play DePaul, I mean, it's DePaul, but still. They battled down there in Indianapolis. They kicked their tails.
And
Purdue hasn't been playing that particularly well in the last, you know, 5-6 games. Rutgers hung around with them, so did Illinois. A lot of teams that shouldn't be playing with them. Penn State, I think, beat them.
I know I was talking about DeAndre Ayton, but Raw Alkins, by the way, from Arizona, ball out too. So I hope we helped you with your brackets. If you need legal advice, not bracket advice, but legal advice by a reputable attorney, send questions you want answered to cbschicago.com/legaladvice or look online for free Legal Fridays with Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates. That's cbschicago.com/legaladvice. We're going to talk with Julie DeCaro about what's coming up on her show next here on The Score. After I'm done, the people are calling for it. Folks are texting here and saying, put Julie on. Well, that's what we're doing.
One whole texter.
Hey, it's more texts than I got today.
I'll take it. It's more than what I usually get. Usually they're like, when's Les on?
Well, after you're done.
I'm going to take it.
At midnight. But you're on until then, starting at 10 o'clock. What's up, Jules?
Not much. What's up with you?
Thanks for the weird candy. Was it even
candy?
Well, I don't even know.
It's candy. It's chocolate. It's small. It's chocolate. It's candy.
What the hell was that?
It was a Kinder Egg. They're huge in Europe. We haven't been able to get them here. Now they're here. It took me like 15 minutes to figure out how to open it.
It was kind of adorable.
But one side had a toy, and the other side had like these little chocolate cookies in this delicious white chocolate cream sauce.
It was really good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. You can get them at Walgreens now.
I appreciate you sharing with me.
You're welcome.
You were struggling with the daylight savings.
I am.
Stuff too. I did too. I don't ordinarily struggle, but I struggled. I struggled this morning. I don't ordinarily do that. I'm usually up. My wife gets up. I get up, and that's usually how I roll. But today I was like, as she's leaving the house, I texted her later and I said, I barely remember you leaving the house. And she goes, yeah, you were a problem today.
Yeah, it's crazy because I remember my kids when they were little having such a hard time with it and just being like, oh my God, how can this be such a big deal to someone to, you know, for an hour of sleep? But now, I don't know. I felt like I missed like 10 hours. I felt like we skipped ahead like 10 hours. So I slept till noon yesterday, and then my husband's like, it's really only 11, and I was like, oh good, and I went back to sleep and I slept until 1 because I'm like, it's really only noon now. And then today I could have easily done the same thing. Easily.
That's I don't know.
Sleep is extremely important to me, Lawrence.
It's extremely important to us all. I'm a huge fan of it, but I am light sensitive, so My wife needs the light, like, or else she will stay in the bed all day.
Yeah.
So we had the blinds kind of halfway open, and with the sun now not rising until after 7 o'clock, I was like, oh good, I'm down for the count. But usually, like, as soon as that little bit of blue light cracks, I'm like, I'm up. And when I can't go back to sleep. Like, that's like my biggest, that's my kryptonite, is that I can't go back to sleep once like the light has come into the room.
I can sleep anytime, anywhere, for as long as you will let me sleep.
You and Goff.
Yeah, really?
Jason.
Not together. Different places.
Yeah, I mean, you both have, you know, yeah, okay, significant others.
Just wanted to clarify.
I wasn't insinuating anything, but Goff, I've seen Goff fall asleep, like, just sitting there.
I won't do that, but anytime it's, you know, I have the opportunity to take a nap, I will do it, and
agreed.
I will nap for as long as I possibly can.
I agree with you 100%. I'm big into the naps.
Naps like,
that's
are great.
It's a big thing for me. I did a little bit yesterday. I'm like, oh, let me get this early on in the round for Tiger. I was like, oh, let me get this little 30-minute nap in.
Well, that was what I was saying earlier. So I napped during the afternoon. Then I'm up all night. So, like, everyone else is going to bed. And I'm like, all right, it's 1 a.m. Let's get those creative juices flowing. And I'm like, I'm ready. So I need to find a job where I'm up, where I work from, like, midnight to 5. And then I sleep until noon.
And I told you, bottle service at a club.
Drug dealer.
I think you would be very good at that.
Thank you. I don't fit the profile. I mean, I drive a station wagon.
Do you really drive a station wagon? I didn't know that.
I mean, it's a cool station wagon, but it's a station wagon.
Does it have the paneling?
No. I wish it did. I wish it was like the Truckster.
See, I love this idea of Julie the drug dealer out of a station wagon.
I know.
We could.
It's like Weeds, but it's.
Yes.
Be like out at soccer tournaments.
Have a little pick me up.
PTA meetings.
It would be great. It'd be like Orphan Black. Like you could do some stuff like that on there. By the way, I forgot to do this earlier. I want to thank the folks at CEDAL, the Special Education Department of Lake County. I was one of the hosts of their event, their gala this week out in Killdeer. Myself and Anthony Adams, and we raised some money for some kids with special needs out there, and it was a really wonderful event. I even auctioned off some airtime on this show, so be ready for that. I'm not Shane. I'm not like gonna walk out while the person who bid on it
turning over the 4-hour show to strangers.
They'll be in here with me, and they pledged almost $3,000 for the kids. Marty Marlowe, the kids. So I was very, very happy to do that. So. Thank you to everyone out there. It was a great event and a wonderful time, and a lot of money was raised. What are you going to do on the show tonight?
Well, my curling dreams have been answered because Matt Hamilton.
Cheater.
How is this cheating? Oh, I'm not cheating. He doesn't want to curl with me.
We're supposed to be curling partners.
He follows me on Twitter now.
Does he really?
Yeah.
So this is the dude with the mustache.
With the mustache, Super Mario curler. Yes. So he's going to be on the show tonight. I've got all kinds of questions for him. Can you curl with a beer in your hand? Someone wanted me to ask him if cats were curling, which hands would they wear the sliders on for their feet and which hands would they curl with?
Okay.
They're not hands, they're paws. Whatever.
Well, okay. All right. Yeah, because initially you think, well, they would use their front paws, but maybe they do push off with the back paws.
I don't know.
These are the questions that you're going to ask an Olympic gold medalist.
He's also a really funny guy, and he's a Packers fan and everything, so we'll have fun tonight.
Okay.
So he's going to be great. I'm so excited. I'm a little bit nervous.
Why are you nervous?
I don't know. Like, there's not that many people that make me nervous, but, you know, Olympic gold medalist, curlers, doesn't get any better than that.
He's one of those dudes that looks older because of the mustache. Isn't he only like 27?
He's like 29 or 28 or something like that.
But with that Ron, what's his name, mustache that he's got going on, he looks a little bit older.
Well, you can say that about pretty much all the curlers. They all look 10 years older than they are. I think it has a lot to do with drinking and curling and drinking and curling.
I had the moments in Arizona because I didn't shave in Arizona. So I was out there for parts of 8 days. Full beard.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I felt like you were gone for a month.
I was gone. I mean, well, I was there and then I came home for a few days and then I went back and that was like a whole week. So I guess it ended up being like 10 days there. Full beard.
And mostly gray. There's no pictures? Mostly gray. Wow.
Mostly gray. It aged me quite a bit. Quite a bit. Then I shaved it off, and then I was 30 again.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So that works. Well, Julie, I'm looking forward to listening to your show on the drive home.
Thank you.
Apparently, you have a bunch of fans that are very excited.
There's three people.
630 Texas says, put Julie on, cuz. A 219er says put Julie on. Another 219er, it's a different one, says put Julie on. So there are some fans, also some creeps. But, you know, I mean, that's par for the course.
Like 20 minutes from now, they'll be like, this is terrible. I can't listen to this show.
Put Les on.
Put Les on.
Wake Mully up. Get him in here early. Mully ain't coming in here early for you. All right. Thanks to Julie DeCarol. Check out her show. If you wanted to sleep well, like Julie does, sometimes she sleeps until 1 in the afternoon, then you need to check out Tomorrow's Sleep. Brought to you by Julie DeCarol. Yes, you're right. Welcome Tomorrow and a new Tomorrow Hybrid mattress. Use promo code DRIVE1 and save up to $250 when buying mattress, foundation, and sleep protector at tomorrowsleep.com. Big thanks to Herb Lawrence, Shane Reardon for all their hard work on today's show. Back tomorrow before the Bulls game, and there's so much stuff that we left on the table for tonight's show that we'll bring it to you tomorrow, I promise. Hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at Lawrence W. Holmes is where you can find me. I'll see you tomorrow at 6 here on The Score.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much,
Eli.
See you Sunday.
See you Sunday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.